would you do me a favor, just and join me again in saying thanks to the band and the choir, and just for the time that they give of and especially in the season of Advent and Christmas, and just the time that they put in to be able to do the things that they do as volunteers and to lead us in worship is a really, really cool thing. So thanks for doing that. We are in the middle, sorry, not in the middle. We're at the front part of a sermon series entitled Unpresence, and leading us up to Christmas Eve. And we, excuse me, and last week we talked about presents that are unexpected. So we're going to talk about, over these couple weeks, last week we talked about unexpected. This morning we're going to spend some time talking about unwanted. Next Sunday we'll talk about presents that are unopened. And then the last Sunday of Advent we'll be spending some time talking about presents that are unbelievable. And so last week we spent some time talking about presents that are unexpected. And I asked you if you'd ever received a gift that was totally unexpected. I mean, that really just caught you by surprise. You had no idea that it was coming. It was really unexpected. And we talked about how there are times when the unexpected can be a surprise. Oh my goodness, you shouldn't have. That's so kind. That's so nice. Oh my gosh. Oh my gosh. And then there are other times when we talked about how the unexpected can be a disappointment. And we spent some time looking at Scripture last week about how the gift of how Isaiah in particular talked about the gift of Christ and kind of laid out some of the expected things. This new king was going to be a king, and he would rule over the throne of David, and all of those things were very expected. And then we read some other passages about how later in Isaiah, the prophet talks about the one who would bear our transgressions. And the writer of Philippians talked about this gift from God, this king who would take on the form of you and me and become a servant. Totally unexpected. And be so much so to the point of being obedient to the point of death on a cross. Unexpected. People didn't really know what to do with that as they thought about who or what this king might be. So this morning, the question that I would pose to you is, have you ever received a gift that was entirely unwanted? Have you ever received a gift that you just didn't want? So that's the question I want you to hang with as we turn in our Bibles to John chapter 1. John chapter 1, and I'm going to read verses 1 through 14, and the words will be on the screen. I'm reading from the NIV this morning. You'll find John in the New Testament, Matthew, Mark, Luke, John. Verse 1, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was with God in the beginning. The Word was Jesus, the one whom we celebrate as this gift that's given at Christmas. Through him all things were made. Without him nothing was made that had been made. In him was life, and that life was the light of all mankind. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness has not overcome it. Which could be a whole separate sermon for another day, especially on another Sunday after more tragic violence of just the previous week. Can we ever hear enough that the darkness has not overcome it? There was a man sent from God whose name was John. This is John the Baptist. He came as a witness to testify concerning that light being Jesus, so that through him all might believe. He himself was not the light. He came only as a witness to the light. To the true light that gives light to everyone was coming into the world, the true light. He was in the world, and though the world was made through him, the world did not recognize him. He came to that which was his own, but his own did not receive him. Yet to all who did receive him, To those who believed in his name, he gave the right to become children of God. Children born not of natural descent nor of human decision or a husband's will, but born of God. The Word became flesh and made his dwelling among us. We have seen his glory, the glory of the one and only Son, who came from the Father, full of grace and truth. Let us pray. Lord, we're thankful that you are present here with us, and so we ask that you would help us, if even just for a moment, to continue to be present with you. And by your grace, may we set aside the distractions from the past week or the week ahead so that we would hear your voice and hear the things that you have for us. Open our hearts to those things. And may your Spirit be our filter so that everything else we can kind of just set off to the side. We pray that you would open your word to us this morning, that it would be fresh and new, and that the words that I speak would not be my own, but yours. Amen. So we read this passage out of the Gospel of John, and he's talking about Jesus, this gift who is the light that the darkness has not and cannot overcome. And John is telling us, the writer of the Gospel, John, who is different than John the Baptist, so the writer of the Gospel, John, is telling us that the light is in the world, it was there, the world was made through this, through the light, through Christ, and yet the world didn't even recognize Jesus. And so then he talks about in the passage how John the Baptist was not the light himself, but the one who came to witness to the light. And I couldn't help but wonder if that's not also the role that you and I are called to play. Are we not also called to be the witnesses to the light, to the one whom the darkness cannot overcome? It became, again, it's an obvious thing to us probably daily if we look for it, but there are certainly events that happen throughout a week or throughout a month, or and this happened to be another one of those weeks where it became glaringly obvious to us, it should be glaringly obvious to us, that the world does not recognize the way of Christ. That the peace and the hope and the love and the joy of Jesus is not the way of the world. And so if we are called to be the witness to that and of that, then it seems as though this Christmas season, that's a part of who we're called to be as Christians. Now, it's interesting also to note that you can read through the Gospels and see that even while Jesus was on earth and doing his thing, there were people who still didn't get it. I mean, God himself in Jesus was hanging out with them and they still didn't get it. And so it should not surprise us that there will be times when you, even when you and I are living as we try to follow Jesus and we are being that light, that there are going to be times when people just don't get it. Now, what's interesting to me when I think about the unwanted presence of Christmas, that I would imagine if you've ever received a gift that was really, truly, entirely unwanted, that you would rather have no gift at all. That some of you probably are like, you know what? I would have rather just not even received a gift than received this gift. This gift is so entirely unwanted that I would have rather just had nothing. When you and I give a gift that has an agenda attached to it, we're not actually giving a gift. We're really just giving some sort of passive-aggressive form of something. It's like if you give someone the gift of deodorant. It's like if you were to say, hey, I got you some handyman lessons. Hey, I signed you up for a cooking class. Hey, I heard about this really great driving course that I signed you up for. It'll be gifts that are unwanted. Now, some of us even here this morning are working on trying to get over the gift of church that was given to us. A gift that felt a lot like judgment and shame and guilt. I mean, who wants a gift like that? Do you remember what John Wesley is a guy who kind of founded the Methodist movement? And one of the things that he said that we've talked about before, and it's a little quiz for some of you. Do you remember what Wesley called the grand stumbling block to the spread of Christianity? The grand stumbling block to the spread of Christianity, Wesley said, was Christians. The lives of Christians. And so when we talk about unwanted gifts, and we read the passage from John, and we think about hope and peace and love and joy in this Advent season, and if we hear John saying that we are to be witnesses to the light which the darkness has not and cannot overcome, then what kind of a gift are you and I giving? I mean, if you and I aren't really interested in wanting the gift, I mean, we're talking about Christmas, right? We're in the Christmas season. We're moving towards Christmas and the greatest gift ever given, the gift that changed all of history of all time and for all of time. And so as we think about this unwanted gift, and if you and I aren't even using the gift, then why would we expect anyone else to be interested in it? I mean, why would someone want a gift that you aren't even using or that you don't want? And this isn't so much about buying what you're selling, but more about living a life that's transformed by Christ. I don't think that being a Christian is a sales job. I think that being a Christian and following Christ is a life that's transformed by what it means to try to follow Jesus and then share and then witnessing to, as we use John's words, and then witnessing to that. And then people go, that seems like a gift that might be of interest or use to me. Now, I think one of the ways in which we do that is, one, not only do we have to own the gift for ourselves. It's not fair to expect or think that people are going to look at our lives and decide that they want to follow Jesus too if we're not, in fact, actually following Jesus. But I think we do that by living incarnationally. So the whole story of Christmas is God who became like us. God incarnate. He took on flesh to live with us and among us. What does it look like for you and for me to live incarnationally? To live your faith even as you wrestle it? How can you help move this idea of following Christ and church from this unwanted gift that a lot of people have said, either I've been there, done that, thanks, I'm good, or even don't even get that far and just go, are you kidding? I hear the things that you say, I read the things that you write, I see the way you treat each other, I'm good. How do we move this unwanted thing like that into this place where we can begin to live in relationship with people and relationship with Christ, that they see that and go, hey, that's kind of a compelling thing. I think it's about living your faith as you wrestle with it. I think it's about being present. It's about being genuine. It's about being accessible. It's about being available. It's about being humble. It's about putting yourself where people are. It's no fun to get gifts for people who already have everything and there's no gifts to get them. And that's a little bit of what church is like if we all just kind of hang out together and like, oh, you know Jesus? I know Jesus too. Great. We should talk about Jesus together. Sure, That's fine. There's a place for that. But what do we do with the gift of Christ if we already, oh, you already have it? Ugh, all right. We got to put ourselves in places where people are so that we might give this gift that perhaps they don't have or they don't know. Think about some of the best presents that you've ever given or received. My guess would be that they are gifts that you have found to be personally meaningful or useful. So if there's, you're going about your daily life and you're doing this thing and now it's getting to be Christmas time, and how many of you, is anybody done with their, like completely done with your Christmas shopping? No, raise your hand proud. Yes. There's like three of you. All right. So there's three totally crazy people. All right. The rest of us are just sort of crazy, right? Maybe we're a different crazy because then we'll be the ones who are like, you know, Christmas Eve day, we're like, duh. I would guess that some of the best gifts that you have ever given or received have been the ones where you go throughout your normal day and you're in, maybe it's Christmas season and you're thinking about gifts for people, maybe it's a birthday, whatever it is, and you're just doing your thing and you're like, you know, this thing has been incredibly useful to me. And you, I don't know, you make maybe make a little note. You're like, this blender is, whoo, it has changed my life. Like, I can, all right, whatever it is. So this thing. And so then what you've done is you take this meaningful, useful thing that you have found it to be through your experience, and you give it to someone, and then you're not only just giving the blender, right, but you're also giving your experience of the blender where you're like, oh my gosh, No. This is not just a blender. This is the blender that is going to change your life. It will make a smoothie for you like you have never had a smoothie before. And then the person getting the gift is sort of like, I didn't even know I needed this blender that makes these smoothies, but you have convinced, wow, like I've got to have. And then they go through their life and that someday they're like, you know what, maybe months later, I'm going to bust out that blender that so-and-so gave me, and they... and the smoothie changes their life. I would guess that the best gifts that you have given or received have been ones that family and friends have found to be really meaningful or useful. Because with it comes the story, right? Or the experience of, hey, you've got to go to this place. We live in that way, don't we? Hey, do you have any recommendations? I mean, you can go on any social network. Hey, and people are looking for recommendations for everything. Everything from a church to like a restaurant. Where should I get my hair done? Where should I get my car fixed? Hey, do you have gifts that we give that we have found to be meaningful or useful are not uncommonly found to be really great gifts to give and even receive. I think that this is the way in which we invite our community into the story, into the Christmas story. Is by living the story. What are the ways in which how you have tried to follow and grow in your faith and follow God and follow Christ, what are the ways in which that has changed you and transformed you so that you can then share that with people? Hey, I think you're really going to want to think about church, because let me just tell you how church has been changing me. And not change in a weird way, right? Like some sort of awkward thing, but change in a like transformational sort of, let me tell you how being involved in church has actually made me a better coworker, a better neighbor, a better spouse, a better parent, a better grandparent, a better fill in the blank. Hey, I've been working on trying to follow Jesus and growing in my faith as I do that, and it's changing me. And I want to tell you about that. I have found it to be meaningful and useful, just like the blender. It's Jesus and faith as I'm trying to explore what it means to follow Christ. And I think that's how we invite our community into the story of God's redeeming love. Now, you know your family and friends, you know the things they do and the things they like to do. And so when you find that thing that you experience and you're like, oh, this would be perfect for so-and-so, 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 and you can think of. I think so much of helping move the unwanted gift to the to something that they, an individual might recognize that they might not only want but need, is understanding the context of an individual's story or their life. I mean, what does the good news look like for somebody who was hurt by the church? What is the good news of the birth of Christ, the gift of Christ, of love, hope, peace, and joy? What does the good news of those things look like for somebody who is trapped in addiction? What does the good news look like for somebody who has no concept of church or faith or God at all? What does the good news look like for somebody who is struggling through the loss of a relationship or the loss of a loved one or the loss of a career? What does the good news look like? How do you take this thing that could be so easily unwanted and discarded and help individuals see that this could be something that can actually change their lives? I think it's important to know context. Be aware of the people around you. Be aware of your relationships. Be aware of your coworkers, of your neighbors. Did you know that roughly 80% of the U.S. population is not in church on a weekend? 80%. There's a lot of people who have said this stuff is unwanted to me. How can we go about in this Christmas season helping them at least reconsider? I'm not trying to sell you on something. I'm only trying to share with you the experience that it's had on my life and perhaps even just encourage you to reconsider. What about the season of Christmas? What if Christmas wasn't about you and me? I would guess that there are individuals that each of us can think of that we could invite into our experience of Christmas. Well, I've got this family thing. I got this company party thing. I've got this here. I got this here. That's all great. That's good. Go, yay, Christmas, do it. What would it be like if we also could invite individuals into those experiences when it makes sense? It'd be maybe odd to invite like a neighbor to a company party. Maybe it wouldn't be. I don't know. I don't know your company. But it wouldn't surprise me if there were family gatherings that we all had that it would make no difference to invite a friend to go with us who maybe has no place or no one. I mean, what if Christmas wasn't really about you and me? What if that was part of the way in which we could help people see that this thing that seems kind of maybe unwanted to you initially is really this thing that can change your life? Next Sunday, we're going to have in the bulletin, and this is going to freak some of you out, so I'm really excited to see how it goes. Next Sunday, we're going to have in the bulletin little invitations for you to take. Because I won't even say we, I'll just say me, all right? So this is on me. Because I believe that you should be inviting people to church. And I'm not sure that there's any better season than Christmas to do that. And so we're going to have little invitations that are going to be printed up, and they'll look, I think, reasonably cool. And we'll have them in the bulletins for you to just take. And it could be as easy as just like, hey, here's this thing for my church. You can look at it if you want to or whatever. Call me if you want to go. You could do it that way. That will really help the unwanted make it feel really wanted, right? Like, yeah, oh, church, yeah. Or it could just be, I don't know, maybe somehow it's just some little tool or it's an icebreaker. Maybe it's just a reminder. Maybe you don't even need that. And you just slap it on your refrigerator and you're like, oh, yeah. Like, I should probably be thinking about inviting somebody to church. I mean, how can we expect people to realize that this gift that has been given if we don't invite them into the story? And if we're not also living it in our day-to-day lives? We have all met and talked to a lot of Christians that make us think as Christians that it's kind of unwanted. That's what you think it means to follow Jesus? Yeah. I'm good. How can we change that story and invite them into the story of Christmas? And so as we prepare to celebrate communion this morning, I invite you to be thinking about the ways in which Christmas can be less about us, more about the one who it's about, and how can we invite people into that story?